Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Taz of the Moose with you, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Mike Pete across the way, Heller with your updates. We go to 9 a.m. Eastern time, and our pleasure now to be joined in studio for about the next 40 minutes. We're going to run through the bracket here. That is Vin Parisi, college hoops analyst for Fox Sports. See him on SNY as well, former assistant college coach, and joins us in studio now. Vin, good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'll tell
What's
you,
up, Vin?
The best tweak in 12 months was that beat. I like that.
That
I
is,
like
that yes.
beat.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a guy named Bazanji, his name is.
He's strong.
Yeah, he does. He customized that for. He's a tall heel. He went to North Carolina. He's a young guy. He's out of North Carolina a couple of years now, and he's actually in dental school.
Wow.
And he's a big hip. He's an up and coming big time.
I got to tell you, a lot of those songs coming in are very weak, you know, across the board. I mean, that got
that's
me juiced.
Strong.
I
feel like most radio shows suck.
We good.
Don't. This is
I
thing,
feel like I feel like I'm in layup lines right now. I'm hype right now.
That's
it's like Big East tourney at the Garden last week.
That's awesome.
With
that's
that being funny. Said, when you look at this the tournament overall, right, Duke, the number one overall seed, Vin, as everyone, because we're going to help you fill out your brackets here on this Tuesday morning, Vin's going to give you some upsets as well.
Thank God.
When you look at this field, though, Vin, how many teams do you think can win a national championship?
I think there's a handful of national champs.
Five.
And I think when we get towards the end and we get closer to Minneapolis, it's going to be a shame that some teams are going to come up short. You know, a lot of people, guys, are comparing this to the 2012 year where John Calipari had Anthony Davis, and, you know, the talk was, it's Kentucky and everybody else. And yes, don't get me wrong, Zion, Duke, Coach K, they're clearly the best team in the land, but this is not a situation to where Duke has this locked up. When you look at some of these other 1 and 2 seeds, I think those last couple of weekends are going to be terrific.
All right, so I'm sorry, Taz. Okay. You mentioned five teams, so give it to who are the five teams for everyone out there
right in.
That you think can win a national championship?
Well, first off, Duke.
Right.
Secondly, I think Florida State is an elite team that not enough people are talking about. Michigan and John Beilein could easily be in Minneapolis. Kentucky is one of my Final Four teams. But here's the thing: I have Virginia. Not to jump ahead, I have Virginia in the national championship game, and this being Tony Bennett's year and finally winning a national championship. But if you told me North Carolina this year, the way they finished up, are cutting down the nets that Monday night, wouldn't be surprised. If it was Duke, wouldn't be surprised. If it was Kentucky this year.
Not the Vols, bro. No,
yeah,
Tennessee
was terrific, you know, but it's really fascinating, and the margin for error when you get to the top dozen team, I mean, look at how good Tennessee was. And then look at the SEC tournament. Same thing with the ACC. Same thing with the Big Ten.
Auburn played that SEC. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
they look unstoppable.
I think you're going to see more from the Sweet 16 on and in. I think you're going to see more games decided by 5 or 6 possessions in this one. You know, a couple of years ago, you remember, Moose, we saw some of those blowouts and downers in the Elite Eight and Sweet 16. I don't think this year.
Mm. You know, we were talking yesterday, Moose and I, Vin, and Moose brought it up, actually. Interesting how Michigan State got put, they were 2 seed, and they got put in the same deal as Duke. I mean, what's your thoughts of being in the same region?
You know what, that's my,
tough go
I'm
there,
glad
man.
You brought that up. That's my main criticism. I think these are the best 68 teams.
Right.
And usually when we come in, we talk about, how do you leave this team out? Should they have made it? Should they? You know what, the way the computer metrics, the eye test at the end, how soft the bubble was this year, yeah, could you lobby for a TCU? Yeah, but you know what? I'm okay with Belmont. I think the main, the worst thing about what this committee did was Michigan State as a 2 seed in the East with Duke.
With Duke.
And you know why they did it? They did it over 200 and something miles.
That's it. Mm.
That's it. To justify travel. I mean, they can never, you know what though? And Tom Izzo is going to pay the price of it. They'll never make this mistake again. Because when you talk to these coaches, you know, put them in a position, reward the best two seed, not with the overall number one.
Go play Duke now.
Yeah, I agree. Here, before we go, we'll go region by region here, Vin. But with Duke, you know, Taz and I were discussing yesterday. The concern, they do defend, and we know how brilliant Zion is. They're a brutal three-point shooting team.
They are.
I mean, and if they win a national championship, I think they'd be the worst three-point shooting team ever to win a national title because they're right around 30%.
Now, here's my opinion with that. That stat gets overanalyzed because the NCAA tournament's not going to be like conference play. It's not going to be like them playing at Syracuse against the Carrier Dome. They're not going to be walking the ball up playing against zones. They're going to get out. They're going to run. They could potentially be the first ever team to win a national championship and have three top five picks. Because obviously we know about Reddish and we know about RJ Barrett. This team has talent. They're going to slash. They're going to put it on the deck. Okay. They're going to get out and transition. I think they have the offensive talent to still get by besides Zion. I hear what you're saying about the shooting. They also had a game this year versus Louisville where they hit, you know, 11, 12, or 13 threes.
That was a big comeback.
You never know. You never know what's going to happen. To me, what surprised me about them is to have this many young guys and to how they've defended with Coach K and this group has been impressive.
Yesterday we had on we had the Yale head coach on. Great guy. Okay, and I actually, you know, I liked him in the East to James Jones to come out. I liked him to beat LSU. I think they're going to. Do you really?
Yeah, that's one of my upsets.
This is what I'm saying.
There you go.
That's one of my upsets.
Yeah, I like that, man. I mean, talk on that. Explain to people. Well, this Ivy League team is not just some Ivy League team.
Well, here's the thing. Not to get dramatic about the Will Wade situation, but as a former assistant coach, this is not the LSU team that the body of work got judged on for that high of a seed coming in. They're in turmoil.
Right.
They don't have their leader.
The coach, right.
Not to take anything away from the interim coaching and the rest of the coaching staff. What have they done since then? They obviously season ended in the conference tournament on a neutral floor, and they beat a Vanderbilt team that didn't win an SEC SEC game this year. So, and now you look at Yale. What are the ingredients to get an upset? You have a big time prospect. They have that in the big fella Mayo.
Tough name.
NBA scouts have been traveling to their games for the last 8 weeks. And the top four scorers are juniors and seniors, and they could shoot the three ball.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one you really got to take a look at.
All right, so let's start with that region. So you like the Duke region. That is the East. Duke and Michigan State is your two. LSU is your three. And Virginia Tech is being your four. You have Duke coming out of this region. But when you look at the opening round matchups, you like Yale to knock off LSU.
Yep.
Would that be the biggest upset, a 14 being a three that you have in that region?
That's the biggest one. You know, Liberty's an interesting case because the head coach is a Tony Bennett disciple. You know, his top player there is somebody he said openly, I would have recruited this guy if I was still an assistant for Tony Bennett at Virginia. But, you know, I think Mississippi State gets by there. And then you have some good matchups. I mean, listen, St. Louis is better than a 13 seed. This is a team that got hot at the right time.
Virginia
they won the
Tech
Atlantic
defends,
10.
Though.
And they won it. St. Louis won at Seton Hall this year, but Virginia Tech defends.
Right.
Buzz got 3-point shooting this year. And I think they're going to be too much. I got UCF getting by VCU. We still don't know about the Marcus Evans situation for VCU. And that's a unique, you know, you go through the Atlantic 10 the entire year. Now you have to play against 7'6" Taco Fall, who's really like 7'7".
And then
you go, and then you go with Dawkins, you go with Dawkins' son. You know, I talked to Dan Hurley recently. He's always felt that they could win an NCAA tournament game. So, you know, in the Sweet 16, I have Duke and V-Tech up top. And then down low, I have Michigan State and Maryland. Let me tell you something. I've called Maryland games in person this year for Fox with the Big Ten. They are big time.
Mm.
I mean, Bruno Fernando's not coming back to school next year. He's an absolute beast down low.
Right.
Smith is another pro prospect up front, 4'5". They have NBA size. They have unbelievable three-point shooting. They have point guard play. Turgeon's group, because of some bad losses down the stretch, is a little bit under the radar. They're every bit. They finished as 17th in the country, remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the Big Ten.
So you have Duke and Vatek, Maryland and Michigan State. Then you have Duke and Michigan State in your regional final and then Duke?
You know what? Maryland. As much as I love Michigan State, I got Maryland clipping them.
Well,
at
let
the
me
end.
Ask you. I didn't know you were going to say it, but I was just fixing to say. I mean, is it because of Michigan State issues with turnovers? Is that one of your concerns with the Spartans?
Yeah, you know, Maryland doesn't get enough credit
right.
for how good they are defensively. Their defensive numbers the second half of the year were off the charts, and they ball pressure. You know, I think that Turgeon will have a good game plan for Cassius Winston. You know, Richard Pitino credits Maryland's pick and roll schemes. Their pick and roll defense is the biggest struggle in the game. I just called a week ago. And you know, it's not going to be all 1 and 2 seeds down the stretch. If you're looking for like a 4 and 5 that could go an extra round, I think the Terps are one of them.
Wow, right, I'm surprised. I'm happily surprised.
There you go. That's what you want. That's what helped you win your bracket. You need that 6 seed going to the regional
finals. Get focused, Pat.
That's exactly right.
Let's
stay on the left side and go to the West region, or I like to call it the Syracuse region, right? As they are in the 8-9 game against the Baylor.
Shocking. The Orange Syracuse region.
The region of orange. Right. He's going to start naming them now.
Gonzaga's your 1, Michigan your 2, Texas Tech your 3, and Florida State, a team that Vin talked up a few minutes ago for Leonard Hamilton, is your 4 seed. Just general overall, you know, thoughts on this region, Vin, in terms of strength and quality.
I think the strength and quality is there. I think, you know, think of what Florida State did throughout the entire ACC play, and then what they did to Virginia in the ACC tournament. Leonard Hamilton's crew has amazing size, and when you get to the tournament, Leonard Hamilton, he's good at two the things. He takes advantage of mismatches when he's on offense. Leonard Hamilton is known as a guy that takes the best player of the other team out of the game, whether it's double teams, face guarding, physical, body up, make you draw fouls, get into foul trouble in the first half. Now it's just a matter of, are your secondary guys good enough to beat Florida State? That's tough with long, big, strong teams. So I have Florida State making it to the Elite Eight. Now, you mentioned the Orange Moose. The zone factor is why I'm taking Syracuse a little bit farther than everybody else. Mm. I got them making it to the Sweet 16 and pulling up an upset against the Zags.
Wow.
Because you got to remember this. Wow. They made the Sweet 16 as an 11 seed last year. And Taz, the biggest reason why, teams were not used to playing against that zone. It's short turnaround time. Guess what team shot in the tournament last year against the zone? 22%. Team shot barely 33% against it this year. Obviously, the kid Norvell, if he strokes it for Gonzaga, is going to be key.
Yeah,
they
fire.
Don't see length in zones like that west. And I think that that's one of the biggest reasons. If you talk to Jim Boeheim and Mike Hopkins about the run that they made with Carmelo in 2003, besides Carmelo's play, you know what the other biggest reason why they feel they won the national championship that year? They played 3 Big 12 teams. Mm. That's why they're going to get past Baylor, and that's why they're going to go to another Sweet 16.
You know, on that side, I mean, I was talking yesterday, I like Buffalo. I know, like, not to, you know, go deep, but I'm just saying as someone that know a team that people won't expect to do some cool stuff. I mean, what do you think about Buffalo?
Listen, I love Buffalo.
They're great, you know. They're
legit. And they passed the computer test, they passed the eye test, they passed the scheduling test, and then they did what they had to do. You know, Massenburg
doesn't sound promising right now.
No,
this doesn't sound promising. The Bulls don't sound promising for Vin right now.
Massenburg's a pro, but here's the thing: I actually have the St. John's, Arizona State, and Buffalo all play the same way. They like to get up and down and go. They'll go small ball lineups,
right. Free-flowing.
It's not going to be a walk-it-up, grind-you-out type game like it's Wisconsin or Oregon at times.
Yeah.
This is why I have St. John's.
Beating Buffalo.
I have St. John's beating Buffalo. Because you want to know? Well, here's what I'm saying. Listen, you got to go against the grain sometimes in the tournament. Everyone's killing St. John's right now for how their season ended. He's got veterans. Arizona State's best prospect right now is a freshman, Dort. I think that they get by, and then they get by Buffalo. Because here's the thing. Yes, St. John's has been Jekyll and Hyde, and they've been inconsistent, and they're a little small at times on the court. But they still have Shamari Ponds. They still have Marvin Clark. They still have Justin Simon, who's the best defender off the ball, maybe in the country and definitely in the Big East. this team swept Marquette this year. This team beat Villanova. We can't forget about that. I think they could get by Buffalo.
All right, they could get by Buffalo. What about, you know, Texas Tech? You mentioned Michigan earlier on this hour, Vinny, as a team that you think could get themselves to Minneapolis for John Beilein and the Final Four.
Yeah, Culver and Tech is going to be hard. That's going to be a great game against Michigan.
Right, that is, and that's the one question I have in terms of that matchup. Texas Tech, if you have the 2 and the 3 in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, but you know what, Moose, if you think about Michigan, just swap out Brazdeikis for Mo Wagner, and how much is different?
I mean, if you think about it,
you know, especially when you think about Xavier Simpson, three ingredients that head coaches, when you talk to them, that advance in the tournament, especially when you get to the second weekend, Sweet 16 on and in. Do you have size? Beilein's got big wings. Can you shoot it? They stroke the heck out of the ball. And can you defend? They're one of the top five defenses in the country. And then you got Beilein on the bench.
Wow. True. Yeah. You do get the fact that they collapsed in that Big Ten championship. They should have beat Michigan State in that Big Ten title game. Lost to Michigan State 3 times this year. But I agree with you. And Beilein's a great offensive coach.
Yep.
All right, Vin, quickly here. Is in that West region, you have Florida State going to the Final Four or to the Elite Eight?
I have Florida State and Michigan in the Elite Eight and the Wolverines and Duke on the left side of the entire bracket.
All right. What's the biggest upset you have in that region? St. John's knocking off Buffalo?
St. John's knocking off Buffalo.
Killing my bracket.
Yeah, Yale knocking off LSU. You know, Florida State. I don't know how many people are going to have Florida State.
Not many
going to the Elite Eight. I think Gonzaga is going to be a popular pick. I think Marquette is going to be a popular pick. I don't know what's going on with Marcus Howard and that wrist. I was at the Garden for that Seton Hall game when he ran off the court tweaking it. Shoots 1 for 15 afterwards. You know. It's going to be tough. And
anytime you deal with a wrist injury, I think a lot of people are excited to see what Ja Morant can do for Murray State.
Oh, no doubt. That's going to be a big-time matchup. Ja Morant, obviously, is going to be a lottery pick. And then Marcus Howard, player of the year. I know they love storylines. I know that Bob Hurley has a chance to go against the guy that he hired, Nate Oates, plucked him out of high school, and go against his old team in Buffalo. But the storyline of putting Richard Pitino against a school that ran his dad out of town, I think, is actually a little alarming.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of storylines. And here's why it's alarming.
You don't want that distracting.
You know what? I'm very friendly. I have a good relationship with Richard Pitino. I don't think it's alarming for what a lot of people are thinking, meaning Richard Pitino and Rick Pitino, they're big boys. Chris Mack, they're big boys. Right. They could handle it. I feel bad for the kids.
The players.
Because
this
should be, the NCAA tournament should be about the players and the kids.
Good point. Yeah.
Not talking about, you know how many times the word FBI is going to come up in their open practice and media session? Yeah. That's a shame.
It really is. We'll get to the right side. We'll go through the South. We'll go through the Midwest. We got Vin Parisi in studio breaking down the field of 68. The NCAA tournament a few days away. We got the 2 playing games tonight in Dayton, 2 playing games tomorrow night in Dayton. It's Taz and the Moose on this Tuesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Who will be college basketball's national champion? Make sure you call in and give your opinion on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Get to the South and Midwest region. Vin Parisi, Fox Sports basketball analyst, college hoops analyst, will still in studio with us. We got another segment with him. Heller's here with the update. Take it away, Brad.
Ah, Heller. All right, guys, this report is sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. We'll start in the NBA. Steph Curry banked in a 60-foot three-pointer to end the first quarter, but otherwise, he was 6 of 18 from deep on the night, and the Warriors lost to the Red Hot Spurs in San Antonio, 111-105.
The run K went on, myself, Clay, tried to get us back into it. I guess gave us a little bit of life, but in this building, they're tough, especially when you have a couple breakdowns at key moments that, you know, they feed off of. So that was a difference in the fourth.
The Spurs have now won 9 straight, 11 straight at home, and Golden State falls into a tie for first in the West with Denver. The Nuggets beat the Celtics in Boston 114-105, Mike Malone's club officially clinching a playoff spot.
It's a great feeling. You know, 4 years in the making, 2 years in a row coming up just shy, 1 game short, using that as a motivation for tonight's moment.
Isaiah Thomas had a nice moment as the Celtics honored him with a highlight video. He also got a standing ovation. Elsewhere, Dirk Nowitzki passed Will Chamberlain for 6th on the NBA's all-time scoring list. The Mavs lost to the Pelicans in overtime, 129-125. The Heat beat the Thunder in OKC, 116-107. Russell Westbrook serving his one-game suspension. Kyle Lowry suffered another ankle injury in the Raptors' 128-92 rout of the Knicks. He said it is tender, but he'll be all right. NFL news. Giants GM Dave Gettleman says he got an offer he couldn't refuse from the Browns for Odell Beckham Jr. Also, Eli Manning is still his starting quarterback, but what about drafting his successor?
Do I feel forced to do something now? No. Would I like to? Probably. Okay, not probably. I would like to do something, but I've got to believe it's the right guy to be the quarterback of this iconic franchise.
Gettleman with Mike Francesa on WFAN in New York. Meanwhile, former Jaguars starting quarterback Blake Bortles headed to the Rams to back up Jared Goff. Haloti Ngata announcing his retirement. And for baseball, the Yankees have agreed to a minor league deal with lefty Gio Gonzalez and will reportedly make $3 million if he's added to the major league roster. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Brad. As we're joined here by Vin Parisi, college hoops analyst for Fox Sports, also SNY locally in New York. All right. We went through the East and we went through the West. If you're just joining us, Vin has Duke coming out of the East and he has Michigan coming out of the West. Let's go to the right side of the bracket, Vin. Overall quality.
Yeah, Taz, enough talking cues for Moose. Let's get into the nitty-gritty. Yes, we gave the orange enough touch.
Right.
The South.
Right, let's go to the South region. That's exactly right. Well, he's got him to the Sweet 16. If they make the Sweet 16, I'll be happy. That'll be good enough for me.
I went around further for Moose.
Appreciate it, Vinny. No problem. Overall quality when you look at that South region where Virginia is your number one seed.
Oh, I think it's terrific. I mean, Taz talked earlier about Tennessee. What Rick Barnes has done there the past year or two, especially this season, without a top 100 high school recruit technically on the roster, and Grant Williams and what these guys do, they may not have a lot of size and length, but they got a lot of width, girth, strength, and terrific perimeter play. And even Virginia, I mean, I think Virginia gets all the way to the last game, but they got to go against an Oregon team that, you know, was never at full strength this year with Bol Bol being out and dealing with other situations. And then the way they defended to win the Pac-12 championship. Purdue, what Matt Painter lost, four guys from a Final Four caliber team last year to then to this year with how strong the Big Ten was to get a piece of that Big Ten title. And Carson Edwards can just put a team on its shoulders. I mean, from the Sweet 16 on and in, I mean, are you kidding me with that South region?
Let me ask you, just go back real quick on Virginia. Like, from a coaching perspective, okay, do you think that, you know, the whole deal happened last year at UMBC, you know, knocking Virginia out, coaching perspective, and kids that were on that team last year that are there now, I mean, you know where I'm going. Is it rent space in your head? You know, how do you move? They moved on, we know that, but I'm saying now they're in the tournament, like, spotlight's on with that whole UMBC thing a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, first off, I think Tony Bennett's one of the top three or four coaches in the game.
Agreed.
Secondly, I think the media analyzes that more than their locker room was. And I'm not giving them an excuse, but I'll give you one reason why. DeAndre Hunter didn't play in that game against UMBC.
Right.
That's not to take away from the 20-point win.
Right.
I think it's historic. But, Taz, this guy does everything for this group. And he's one of the best defensive players.
Yeah.
Forget about in the ACC, but in the country.
Yeah.
And now he took his offensive game to the next level this year. We know about their half-court defense. This is the best three-point shooting team that Tony Bennett's team's ever had. They don't make mistakes. They don't hurt themselves. And look at how they played this year, not only non-conference early, but during conference play. Not to go backwards, but my other pet peeve, but besides the number two seed with Michigan State on the other side, there's two other pet peeves I have real quick that I want to get in while we're in this thing. Number one, that I wish conference tournaments weighed a little bit heavier than not. I know we got to look at the whole body of work.
Nova, being a six,
and look at Auburn or look at even runner ups. But anyway, Tennessee. Here's my third pet peeve: Tennessee. And listen, it's never going to be perfect. Villanova's going to Hartford. You know, but for a two seed. To be seeded, Tennessee's a two seed, had a shot at a one seed. If they won the SEC championship, probably would have been the fourth number one instead of Gonzaga. And now they have to potentially play a road game in Columbus, Ohio against Cincinnati. It's not going to be perfect, but you don't do that to two seeds.
That's fair.
That's my third pet peeve.
No, but that's a good point.
No, that's a good point. All right, biggest opening round upset you have in that South region. Oregon? You like Oregon to beat Wisconsin?
I like Oregon to beat Wisconsin. That's my 12-5 because, you know, Wisconsin laid a couple of eggs the last 4 weeks of the season in terms of Big Ten play. But it's more about Oregon and Dana Altman. This team, 9 out of its last 10, crazy defensive, not your typical Pac-12, the way they won it down the stretch. I think they give them fits. I think they speed the Badgers up a little bit. I think Dana Altman comes out with a big-time attack for Ethan Happ, who's one of the most unique matchups in the country. Keep your eye on UC Irvine because of Dean Wade and Kansas State's health being an issue these last few weeks. They're a 30-win team. You know, Russ Turner has said publicly recently that this UC Irvine team is just as good, if not better, than the team that almost beat Louisville a couple of years ago. So, you know, that's one to keep an eye on if you're really looking for another 4-13. But, you know, that's about it. I think Cincinnati gets past Iowa, nothing with Purdue. I think Villanova gets past St. Mary's, but I don't think they get past Purdue in the round of 32.
So as far as the Patriots, you guys, you know, Colgate wins, right? So they're playing Tennessee. Obviously, Tennessee's going to probably win that game, but Colgate coming in with a lot of momentum. Will it even be close?
The size and strength factor, Taz, is going to be too much.
No, they got that point guard. That kid's great.
Yeah,
Tennessee. Yeah.
I mean, listen, tremendous. The best times in program history since Donnell Foyle in the late 90s, and I watched their conference tournament. It's going to be a tough matchup with Tennessee.
Yeah.
So who do you have in the regional final? You have Virginia and Tennessee?
I have Virginia and Purdue. Purdue getting past Tennessee. And this is why. Because Carson Edwards, because of the defense and the size, and because of the style. The SEC, Taz, played a lot different than the Big Ten this year.
Yeah.
We covered the Big Ten heavily with Fox. Purdue is a heck of a matchup and a pain in the you-know-what.
Yeah.
And I think it gets Tennessee. That's good. That's my pick there. I got Purdue, Tennessee in the Sweet 16, Virginia, Oregon in the Sweet 16, Virginia coming out of the South.
Can you argue that Virginia has an easier region than Duke? What do you think on that?
Not if Duke has to play Michigan State, though. Right. Not if Duke has to play Michigan State.
Yeah, and that would be the bigger. But if Michigan State doesn't get there,
that's the thing.
If
that's
they're
what
not
I'm
sitting
thinking.
There,
yeah.
If it's Maryland, then Duke has an easier matchup against
but
Maryland.
You're high on, but Vin's high on Maryland. You know?
Right, but right. Vin's high on Maryland. He's got Maryland in the regional final.
I mean, listen, I have Kentucky going to the Final Four, but I kind of like UNC's path. I mean,
it's a little bit easier.
They got Washington potentially in the round of 32. You know, I don't think Kansas even makes the Sweet 16 because they're so flawed right now with everything that Kansas losing Vic, losing Azubuike earlier. And let me tell you something. Kansas isn't a four seed.
No.
Kansas
no,
got
not.
The four. Because you know why? They're not the same roster that half of their evaluation and body of work was the first 2 months of the season.
I mean, I think probably about 70 outside of Kansas, you know, outside of Lawrence, I think the majority of brackets are going to have Auburn going to in that Midwest region, Auburn going to the Sweet
16. I agree with that. I think that's going to happen.
Because I think everyone looks at Kansas, doesn't look at the Jayhawks as the same way.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. There's going to be people that are going to pick Northeastern as well.
Against Kansas, which you could see. Well, all right, we moved out to that Midwest region. So you have Virginia going to the Final Four out of the South, correct?
Yes.
All right, so let's move on to that Midwest region, Vin, because there's a team, you know, you mentioned in terms of Kansas not being the same, a team that maybe people have not been locked in all season long. Talk a little bit about Houston Cougars for Samson.
One of the top three defensive teams in the country in defending the three-point shot, defensive field goal percentage. They guard the perimeter, they guard, they rebound. I talked to Dan Hurley recently. He said that trying to score on Houston is like, I mean, as tough a team as he's ever faced. So, you know, Samson, forget it. The AAC was much stronger this year than it was in times past. And, you know,
are you concerned though with them shooting a three though, Houston? Because they're not exactly.
What about them offensively?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. As far as them shooting threes, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know. I mean, their defense, yeah.
Corey, No, I hear you.
You know what I'm saying?
I think the toughest thing for Houston is where they were seeded in terms of having to play Iowa State in the second round. Because when you go back to like around the times of the media days, all the Big 12 coaches, head coaches, they talked about Iowa State's talent more than anybody else.
Yeah.
But then throughout the season, it became a situation of when are they all going to be healthy? When are they all going to be on the same page? When are they going to all be clicking on all cylinders? And, you know, when you look at Shag and you look at what they have, you look at the way that they played in the Big 12 tournament coming back. I don't think they get past them in the round of 32.
So you're like, all right, so you're like Iowa State to march on, not only beat Ohio State, but then also then to beat Houston until the round of 32.
Yeah, and you look at the bottom of the bracket, I have Seton Hall over Wofford. I think that Seton Hall, when Miles Powell's shooting it well, could play with anybody in the country. Wofford actually don't take anything away from them. Obviously, they remained and stayed in the top 25. When he hits his third three-pointer against Seton Hall, Fletcher McGee is going to be the all-time three-point field goals makes leader in the history of the game. It's great, past J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
I just think that here's what Kevin Willard's going to do, Moose. Quincy McKnight was the shutdown guy when they beat Marquette with Marcus Howard, and he's been the shutdown guy when they've had other big wins. He's going to take Fletcher McGee, limit him, and they get past them in the 10-7 game, but they do not beat Kentucky for a second time. So my Sweet 16 is Kentucky, Iowa State, Auburn, UNC. I have the Tar Heels getting past Auburn, moving to the Elite Eight. I have John Calipari in Kentucky, who the way Calipari, obviously they start out the preseason number one. We now know that it should have been Zion at Duke. John Calipari's team playing in February compared to John Calipari's team playing around the holidays and Christmas, whether you want to look at P.J. Washington, whether you want to look at Reed Travis, whether you want to look at the way they move the ball and shoot it and defend.
And he brings an energy to those guys, Calipari.
Absolutely.
Big time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, then he's got some returners into the fold. You know, a grad transfer, it's not something you put with them in experience. I don't know. I'm going with Cal to Minneapolis out of the Midwest.
So you got Kentucky, Virginia, Michigan, and Duke is your Final Four. We'll get into your championship game and your champion here momentarily. Just one more quick one here on the Midwest. You like Kentucky to go there. The biggest concern is none of these teams are perfect teams. We talked about the issues with Duke. What's your biggest concern that you'd have about Calipari's Kentucky Wildcats?
They could get to a point offensively, and Cal has said this in press conferences the last two or three weeks, to where they lose that he calls it, we lose our minds a little bit. And what he means is they have stretches to where five or six possessions will go by and it looks like AAU basketball. I mean, it just looks wide open,
right?
Trying to throw alley-oops. I mean, just all over the place.
It's mayhem, yeah.
But here's the thing. Cal in the tournament is a different type of coach than he is in January and February. Cal calls more timeouts in the NCAA tournament. Cal controls tempo more in the NCAA. Cal gets on the floor and slows teams down more in the NCAA tournament. This is a known fact, even when you talk to other head coaches. Cal does not get bounced early for a reason. And
controls the tempo as a coach.
He controls tempo. Yeah. I mean, Sweet 16 is commonplace for them now, turning over rosters.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what gets them by.
Big deal. All right, so your Final Four, you have Virginia going up against Kentucky, Michigan going up against Duke. Who do you have in the championship game?
I got an ACC championship game on Monday night. I think a lot of people will have that, but a lot of people are probably going to get into that Duke, UNC, you know, the rivalry, greatest rivalry. My ACC final championship game is going to be Duke versus Virginia, and this is the year that Tony Bennett finally gets through. All the talk's going to be about UMBC last year. I thought the way he handled it, you know, he's just a, you know,
he's cool,
a great
he's
guy.
Smooth,
I mean, you can whatever spin you want to go. He's a great man of faith, whatever The way they handled that moving forward, I think that this is the year the Cavaliers get by. Little local product here in New York, Ty Jerome, and I own a prep kid out of New York. Yep. Second team all league guy, controls tempo. I think this is the Cavs' year.
The only issue I have with Virginia is I still have flashbacks to last year and the other failures.
Well,
now,
this is why I came in this morning to help you get Moose, but to like, help you get through it, Moose.
But here's the I know, Vin, but all I keep on thinking about is watching
that
game.
They lost by 20.
Well, and they're down eight, spanked. And it looks like they're down by 35.
And they can't do anything offensively. And you know who is watching with you? DeAndre Hunter, baby, on the sidelines.
That's right. Yeah.
While you had your orange boxer shorts on.
That's exactly. How do you know that?
Yeah. What's going on there? What's that?
They were a Christmas gift.
That's funny. You're sticking out of your pants,
thanks, Taz. I appreciate it. Vin Parisi, College Hoops Analyst, Fox Sports.
This is fun, guys. You guys are the best.
Vin, thanks, you're the Vin. Great. Great job, as always. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you, thanks
brother.
So much,
we'll get
guys.
You out again throughout the tournament.
Absolutely.
Right,
it's going to be a great tourney.
You got it. Vin Parisi. Hit him up on Twitter. Fox Sports, College Hoops Analyst. He's got Virginia. Tony Bennett's Cavaliers.
Destroyed my bracket. Then just killed me.
Killed me. It's Taz and the Moose on a Tuesday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's 3 weeks of great college hoops until a champion is crowned on April 8th. And you can talk about the games right here on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance? Do get it all right now at geico.com. Great stuff there, Vin Parisi. If you missed our bracket breakdown here on this Tuesday morning, make sure to check out the podcast, radio.com, Apple Podcasts, wherever you download the podcast. Yes. Taz and the Moose, doing each and every day. We're with you Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time. So, Mikey, tweet out a question. Loser of the Taz and the Moose bracket challenge amongst the six of us, Heller, Bogish, me, you, Bilotti,
it's actually
and
UI,
Bisegli.
UI.
We stop. What should the loser do, right? Loser has to give foot massage to the winning bracket.
Nope.
Loser has to get a tattoo.
No.
No.
Hold on a second.
Get a tattoo.
Did you say tattoo?
Yeah.
Listen, who else here has tattoos?
Yeah, I have a tattoo.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Do you want to share?
No, it's on my left shoulder. It's the nickname my mom had for me when I was growing up.
No problem. Oh, so you have a tattoo. Is it big, little, small, medium?
No, small tattoo.
Okay, I'm riddled with tattoos.
I know that, yes.
So the tattoo thing could be a good idea, but not for you and I. For the other people on the show that don't have a tattoo.
Nah.
Like Mikey B, no, Pete but the body. Actually, Pete get a tattoo on his head.
But they'd have to get a tattoo of whoever wins the pool, suggest the tattoo. That's not going to happen.
Oh, absolutely!
I'd be very uncomfortable doing that.
Me too.
Yeah. I'd be very uncomfortable doing that. Someone being like Bisegli waking up, being like, "Yeah, I think you should get an apple tattooed on your rear end."
Yeah, Taz, I think you should get a seahorse tattooed on your
earlobe.
That's
there for life.
I'm not
playing
around. Seahorse.
Right. It's one thing. Okay, get a ear piercing. You could take the piercing out. The tattoo, no.
Yeah.
All right. Loser invites the crew over for dinner.
No.
That's another good one.
I don't think that's
what we discussed earlier.
Keep
the suggestions coming at Taz and the Moose. We certainly appreciate it.
So far, they all stink. So thank you for sharing, though, you people out there listening. I don't like any of the suggestions. I really don't. So I'm just being honest. I'm blunt. That's how I am. You know me, Blunt Jones. Yes. I come right at you. Full throttle. We appreciate it. I appreciate it. But I just think no one's giving foot massages here. That's not happening. Okay. I mean, Mike's running around all the time. He probably suggests things. He's always got flip-flops on. Now, I'm a flip-flop guy, just not here. What's the matter, Mike?
I don't mind the foot thing. That doesn't bother me.
The foot massage. So, no foot massage, no dinner. We'll come to an agreement on something. It'll be nothing, let's be honest.
Well, why could I do that, Moose?
By the time this thing gets going, it'll be absolutely nothing. I'll buy a cup of coffee to the winner.
That's nice, Moose.
Here's a dry bagel.
Why be Killjoy Jones?
I'm being realistic here.
Really?
It's like pulling teeth. That's what it's like. It's like trying to find a common ground. There's no peace accord that's going to happen.
Hold on.
It's just not going to happen.
Hypothetically,
if we were in a room trying to negotiate a peace agreement, I'd throw up my arms and be like, it's time to go.
All right.
I've had enough. Let's go get on the plane and head home.
Okay.
Get
listen.
The button.
Yes. Listen, I'd like to say one thing. I like to ask you a question. If it was up to you, completely up to you.
Right.
Okay. I mean, we know you're the quarterback here, but let's say it was completely up to you. Let's say it was completely. Yeah. What would you want to do?
I think the dinner out is a nice idea.
Dinner out what? So the loser pays for dinner?
Yeah. Or you have the people over for like a barbecue in the summer.
No. I'm not down with that.
That's like it's like pulling teeth. I say mercy.
I feel like that's blame. That's a shot at me.
No, it's not a shot at anybody. I just say we'll end up being here's a pretzel stick.
Oh God, Why do you,
the winner gets a pretzel rod.
But Moose, there's so many other things
we could do. From Bilotti.
Oh, come on. This breakfast, we're giving out T-shirts to people.
We should just do the
Help
breakfast.
Me, something else. Give me something else.
Have to be nice to people for a day.
Right.
Excuse me?
We did breakfast.
The mic said we all have to be nice to each other?
Whoever loses has to be nice that day.
Yes. That's nice.
I've tried. I have.
We're all assuming Taz is going to be finishing last.
Winner spends the weekend at Taz's house.
Yeah. The winner can kiss my rear end. How's that?
At Taz's house.
On my porch.
How about this?
So, Taz's house.
Yeah.
How about this? The loser can quarterback the show for a day.
Nah. At Taz's house.
No, thank you. Nah, I've quarterbacked enough shows in my day. Actually, I'll be quarterbacking another show later on today. It's called The Taz Show. Make sure you download it at radio.com or Apple Podcast. So here's the thing, though. I don't really care what any of you people think. I'm just telling you, blunt. I really don't care. And I won't lose this thing. So that's the third time in the show, the Moose, that you said, well, we're all expecting Taz to be last.
They're giving suggestions.
Why?
Because you finished in last year.
So, and where were you?
Not last.
You were next to last. I know that.
Not last.
Fantasy football, you absolutely stunk.
I didn't even draft my team.
Well, you still stunk. So,
Taz, you drafted your team and you were terrible.
I was not terrible.
Which
middle
is
of the
worse?
Road. I was middle of the road.
You
That's
were not.
True.
Middle, of,
I was
the
middle
road.
Of the road.
You were not.
There were great prizes in that one.
Stop. It was not middle of the
Pete
road.
Pete actually has a gripe with the because he won.
I won and the sixth place person got a prize.
Yeah. Well, it's fine.
Yeah, Pete was not happy.
Yeah, that's fine.
No,
whatever you guys want to
do. I'll tell you what. I'm going to do better in this tournament than you, Moose.
You
that's
might.
That's actually all that matters to me now. Now, it's the third time you took a shot at me about I'm going to lose this pool. And I don't appreciate
that's besides the
it.
Point. I don't appreciate we just, it. We all laughed about last year.
Who's we?
Oh, Mike, Pete.
Oh, the cool kids? Mike, Pete,
Marash,
Moose, Marash.
Heller.
Right, Heller.
Tobias
right.
Heller.
All the cool kids. And Taz is the Yowski.
No.
I'd rather. If you guys are the cool kids, I'll be the Yowski.
You poke
no
fun
problem.
Of yourself all the time. No, you're not sensitive.
We all do here, Moose. You know that. That's what we're about here on Taz and Moose. It's all about poking fun at each other, at our team.
That's why I say I'm done with the peace accord.
Okay, good. Then you know what? Nothing.
That's fine.
Delete the tweet.
Now, there's a caveat to this one, but how about you have to babysit Moose's kids?
Oh, no.
Then, if you know, Moose, I guess you would have to babysit your own kids.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Right. That would be strange.
I three boys.
Yeah.
That's tough, though.
Young guys like that? No.
Moose,
I can't do that.
Night out?
I
don't know if I'm comfortable, Taz, watching the children.
I don't know what I would do. I might leave. I might take them in the car. We'll go to cigar bar.
Right.
You know, I won't have them smoke, but I'll smoke cigars.
That might be a problem.
Here's some bread.
Daddy, what's the humidor?
I might, yeah. I'm as a parent of these children, I don't think I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, we could watch some Japanese wrestling on YouTube.
Oh.
That'd be great.
Right, yeah. No blood there.
Daddy, what's Korakuen Hall? It's a big building in Tokyo where wrestlers wrestle. Yeah, there's stuff like that. Korakuen Hall, really good place. Tokyo, though.
Nice.
Yeah, so yeah, teach them about some wrestling in Japan. That'd be good.
So whatever you guys want to do.
I don't want to do nothing. My goal is to beat
something
you.
On the line.
No, Moose. My goal is to do better than you.
Okay.
Okay, and now I showed you earlier who I'm going to have win this thing. I'm changing that.
Stick with that team.
Because you're no, I'm not sticking because Vin
stick with that
buried
team.
That team.
No, you should stick with that team.
No.
Because if you do, I'll win.
Whoa! No, I'm good. No. I'm not. You're not going to win, and we're not doing any prizes,
right,
any
no
food,
prizes.
Any
fine.
Nothing,
no prizes.
Nothing for the audience, nothing.
What
we're doing nothing.
Fest.
That's it, nothing.
What a snooze fest.
That's it. Dry City. This is what this is going to be.
Coming up, we've got the three for you. The biggest headlines of the day. It's Taz, it's Moose on a Tuesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Whoa!
That was real.
Whoa!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.